Mr. Entwistle studied Susan Banks as she leant forward across the table, talking in her animated manner. None of the loveliness of Rosamond here. But it was an attractive face, and its attraction lay, Mr. Entwistle decided, in its vitality. The curves of the mouth were rich and full. It was a woman's mouth, and her body was very decidedly a woman's, emphatically so. Yet, in many ways, Susan reminded him of her uncle, Richard Abernethy. The shape of her head, the line of her jaw, the deep-set reflective eyes. She had the same kind of dominant personality that Richard had had, the same driving energy, the same foresightedness and forthright judgment. Of the three members of the younger generation, she alone seemed to be made of the metal that had raised up the vast Abernethy fortunes. Had Richard recognized in this niece a kindred spirit to his own? Mr. Entwistle thought he must have done. Richard had always had a keen appreciation of character. Here, surely, were exactly the qualities of which he was in search. And yet in his will, Richard Abernethy had made no distinction in her favour, distrustful, as Mr. Entwistle believed, of George, passing over that lovely dimwit Rosamond. Could he not have found in Susan what he was seeking, an heir of his own metal? If not, the cause must be, yes, it followed logically, the husband. Mr. Entwistle's eyes slid gently over Susan's shoulder to where Gregory Banks stood absently whittling at a pencil. A thin, pale, nondescript young man with reddish, sandy hair, so overshadowed by Susan's colourful personality that it was difficult to realise what he himself was really like. Nothing to take hold of in the fellow, quite pleasant, ready to be agreeable, a yes-man, as the modern term went, and yet that did not seem to describe him satisfactorily. There was something vaguely disquieting about the unobtrusiveness of Gregory Banks. He had been an unsuitable match, yet Susan had insisted on marrying him. Had overborne all opposition. Why? What had she seen in him? And now, 6 months after the marriage, she's crazy about the fellow, Mr. Entwistle said to himself. He knew the signs. A large number of wives with matrimonial troubles had passed through the office of Bollard, Entwistle, Entwistle and Bollard, wives madly devoted to unsatisfactory and often what appeared quite unprepossessing husbands, wives contemptuous of and bored by apparently attractive and impeccable husbands. What any woman saw in some particular man was beyond the comprehension of the average intelligent male. It was just so. A woman who could be intelligent about everything else in the world could be a complete fool when it came to some particular man. Susan, thought Mr. Entwistle, was one of those women. For her, the world revolved around Greg, and that had its dangers in more ways than one. Susan was talking with emphasis and indignation.
Because it is disgraceful. You remember that woman who was murdered in Yorkshire last year? Nobody was ever arrested. And the old woman in the sweet shop who was killed with a crowbar? They detained some man, then they let him go.
There has to be evidence, my dear, said Mr. Entwistle. Susan paid no attention. And that other case, a retired nurse, that was a hatchet or an axe, just like Aunt Cora. Dear me, you appear to have made quite a study of these crimes, Susan, said Mr. Entwistle mildly. Well, naturally, one remembers these things, and when someone in one's own family is killed, and in very much the same way, well, it shows that there must be a lot of these sorts of people going round the countryside, breaking into places and attacking lonely women, and that the police just don't bother. Mr. Entwistle shook his head. Don't belittle the police, Susan. They are a very shrewd and patient body of men, persistent, too. Just because it isn't still mentioned in the newspapers doesn't mean that a case is closed. Far from it. And yet there are hundreds of unsolved crimes every year.
Hundreds?
Mr. Entwistle looked dubious. A certain number, yes, but there are many occasions when police know who has committed a crime, but where the evidence is insufficient for a prosecution.
I don't believe it, said Susan. I believe if you knew definitely who committed a crime, you could always get the evidence.
I wonder now, Mr. Entwistle sounded thoughtful, I very much wonder.
Have they any idea at all in Aunt Cora's case of who it might be?
That I couldn't say, not as far as I know. But they would hardly confide in me, and it's early days yet. The murder took place only the day before yesterday, remember.
It's definitely got to be a certain kind of person, Susan mused, a brutal, perhaps slightly half-witted type. A discharged soldier or a jailbird? I mean, using a hatchet like that.